The bag is packed with the sticks, the drinks are cold, and the scorecard's ready to go. Time to hit the links.
After a couple of rounds, I decide every time I needed said club, I slowly took the plastic off, and it felt like I was opening a present with every single time I needed a new club.
This is On the Tee, presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips.
You mean you're taking off the plastic one by one? That's kind of like a serial killer move.
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue, alongside Bally Sports' Stephen Watson. Here's Gabe Neitzel.
Live from Erin Hills, one of our favorite places to be. Gabe Neitzel, Stephen Watson hanging out on the tee. We had a beautiful day out here. It might have been the best day of the spring.
It is certainly our happy place right now. I mean, how can you beat a day like this in the month of May? No wind, 70 degrees. Not a cloud in the sky. A bluebird day in May you'll take, but a bluebird day at Erin Hills in May, man.
Even
that's a
better
day of golf.
Even better. We'll talk to you about our round. We'll tell you everything you need to know about Erin Hills in just a little bit. But right now, joining us, he is the caddy master here at Erin Hills. In his second season, he is Tim Frank. Tim, thank you so much for jumping on and joining us, pal.
Gentlemen, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming out here and having me.
So let's go ahead. I mentioned this is your second year,
that's correct?
That's correct. So how long were you a caddy here at Erin Hills? And then how did it come about that you took over as the caddy master here?
Well, prior to this, I was a full-time caddy out here for about 9 years. And then I joined the management team about three years ago. And then the reigning caddy manager that was here kind of put in his 2-week notice in the middle of April last year. So I got shuffled up to the top seat, and here I am.
What makes a good caddy, Tim?
It's got to be someone that's a chameleon out there. It's got to be someone that adapts to their players. I mean, let's face it, we're not going to have players out here every day that are 2-3 handicaps or even better than that. We need caddies out here that can communicate with their players, that can and do it effectively as well. We also have to be a tour guide out here. We also have to be best friends out here, psychologists, everything.
Talking with Tim Frank, he is the caddy master at Erin Hills. His On the Tee is live at Erin Hills. You mentioned all those different things. So how long does it take to train a caddy when you have a new one that comes on board? Because I think a part of what, at least for us, being out here, what we love about it is the hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that extends to everything that's done here at Erin Hills, whether you're up at the pro shop, whether you're down here where we are, or especially when you're on the golf course, because mm-hmm. that caddy is going to be the person that you have the most touches with, and they're going to help you have that memory of when you're here. So how long does it take to train someone like that?
Well, I mean, quite honestly, the training never stops. I mean, our motto out here is, like, you're always learning something out here. I mean, like I said, I've been here 9-10 years. I'm always learning something out there. But, I mean, for rookies that are coming on, we definitely look for, like, some sort of prior golf experience, stuff like that. But it's not a requirement. I mean, I want people that, like I said, are able to talk to people, that are able to communicate. But it usually takes about a month for us to get training. Now, some people adapt better than others. But, I mean, yeah, we usually have at least 36 holes under our belt, even up to 72, and then after that we shadow loop people. So our rookies go with people that have been here established, kind of see what we're about, and then we kind of ease them into the program. But because, like you said, it's vital for our golf course, our hospitality. We're not Sand Valley, we're not Whistling Straits, we're there just based on volume. We have one course out here. So we really try to pursue that exclusivity.
You'd mentioned the word chameleon, so
mm-hmm.
you guys see a lot of different type of skill sets out here on this golf course. A lot of golfers have certain preferences from their caddies. I want to know, in the mind of a caddy, who is an ideal person to caddy for, and who is your biggest nightmare to caddy for on a golf course?
Well, I guarantee most of the caddies out here are going to say, how big is their pocketbook?
Like,
No, but it's someone that, I'll tell you what, especially in the golf game, if you check your ego at the door, which is extremely hard out here, I think that those are the people that people want to caddy for. It's because, A, you're kind of in our hands, right? It's just like you're kind of submitting to what we're telling you to do, what we're suggesting you to do, and you're just listening. You're not, you know, some guys come out here and they say, yeah, I hit my drive 300. Well, yeah, you did that in Denver downhill once. So I think that our guys want to caddy for people that want to be coached. And our nightmares are the complete opposite, where the guys that think they're two or three handicaps, so let's be honest, you're 13 or 14, and they're playing the wrong tees. Just everything is bad about the experience out here because they're playing bad. But it's just like, yeah, like you said earlier, like look around. Like, how can you get pissed off out here?
I think the hardest thing for me when I play Erin Hills, and we're very fortunate to be out here a good amount in the last couple of years, especially around the U.S. Open and the Mid-Am last year. You know, a lot of great events coming up this upcoming year. I put so much pressure on myself when I'm on that first tee box out here because I want to play a good round. And for a lot of people that pay to play out here, and maybe this is their one round that they get at Erin Hills that summer or of their life, it's hard not to get too frustrated.
Oh, trust
right?
me, we see it all the time. And my advice, when I was caddying, and I still caddy to this day, I see guys that are nervous. Honestly, I'm like, hey, go get a Bloody Mary. Yeah, calm those nerves.
Fescue Rescue.
We're a Fescue Rescue show.
Okay, that's
officially 6 minutes in, and it took the first mention of Fescue Rescue. I'm kind of disappointed in us.
Very, very disappointed. As we talk with Tim Frank, he's the Caddy Master out here at Erin Hills. ErinHills.com is where you can go to find out if you want to have a stay in play, if you want to be able to play out here. And with the caddies out here, what makes them such a special group that you get to manage? Because, again, it's the one that has the most touch with the majority of people that come out here for the longest period of time.
Oh, I would agree. I mean, like you said, like they're out here with the players about six and a half hours. So, yeah, we are definitely one of the biggest salesmen of the course, per se. I think what makes it special is actually I think a lot of the guys get along really well. And that's why I love them. Like, I mean, even me, they let me golf with them once in a while. I mean, not so much anymore because I'm their boss, but but no, they still invite me. I guarantee, like a lot of these guys right now are golfing somewhere around the area, and I think I think that's what makes it special.
Well, I know for a fact, my caddy today said, "Man, it's so nice. I'm playing."
Yeah,
he got done with the loop today, and he was Junebug.
Yep.
Shout out to Junebug today. He said he was going to go play around after
got
done out here today.
And they're going over to the local course called Deer Track, which is only 5 minutes away. But yeah, a lot of those guys are going to play in 12, 16 people out there, and they're just going to hang out, have a good time, and they come back tomorrow morning. And yeah, it's harmonious.
Walk us through a day in the life for you. You're the one who gets to choose which caddy goes to which
That's
group.
Right.
You know, so walk us through how you go through that process on a daily basis.
You know, sometimes it is good to be the king, let me tell you. But no, I mean, I look for, you know, guys that obviously I know that have been here, know they're going to get the job done well. I mean, obviously I have some advance of VIP groups coming in and stuff like that. And it's not only that, it's guys that have earned it, guys that want to be here, that want to make Erin Hills what it is. And that's just, and the way that I preach it is the little things, right? It's picking up garbage in the course, fixing divots, you know, picking up tees, all that, you know, making sure that you have a drink and stuff like that. It's the little things. And that's what I want for our VIP groups as well.
So who are some of the VIPs? I mean, you said before you took over as the caddy master, you were a full-time caddy out here for 8 or 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Who are some of the more VIP-ish people that you've looped for?
Well, Gabe, I did have you a couple years ago.
That's true. Yeah.
So, yeah, Gabe was out here. I think this was pre-U.S. Open.
Yes, it was.
And I finally realized who he was by hole four. Because I noticed your voice. I'm like, wait a second, that sounds familiar. But no, I think, honestly, my best experience I've ever had out here with a celebrity is Dick Bennett. I mean, me growing up, you know, I grew up in the, you know, in the 90s. I loved Wisconsin basketball, even starting with like Stu Jackson. But having him out here was just a thrill. He was very, you know, very accommodating for everything. He came up to me and he's like, "Hey, don't tell anybody, but I'm tired." You know, he's one of those old school guys.
Yeah.
You know, but he still finished, and it was just a thrill for me because, like I said, you know, watching those, especially that Final Four team against Michigan State. But that was awesome. He was a great guy. A couple other guys that come to mind. Jeff Francoeur is another one. He's a really great guy. He comes up here once in a while.
He's a pretty decent player.
He's a big hitter off the tee, actually. He plays blues out here. But again, great guy. Like, I've had him and Gordon Beckham a few times. Jason Kidd was another one when he was coaching out here. I had him every time he was out here. Another really good guy, about a 7 handicap. I can keep going on. I mean, so, like, for instance, for the U.S. Open, like, I did practice rounds with Patrick Reed.
Oh, wow.
So that was a thrill. It was.
Okay.
It was. See, I understand. I completely understand what you're talking about. But I think players like that get up being the bad guy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They kind of feed off of that. But he was extremely nice to me. Even after his practice round, he went up to the local establishment, played Golden Tee with the maintenance guys. But I mean, talk about a guy that's, you know, 305 off the tee with a 5 yard draw every time. It's crazy. Just crazy. So.
And he's not even that great of a driver of the golf, but like,
no,
comparatively on the PGA
right,
Tour, you know, correct. Like on the PGA Tour for him now, live. But yeah. In the world of high elite professional golf, he's not even considered yep. an elite driver.
Correct.
So you've been out here for a decade, just over a decade now
yep.
at Erin Hills. How have you seen this property grow, and what are you most proud of being out here on a daily basis?
Well, I think what I'm most proud of is actually what the course is like right now. I mean, this is, May 15th? Mm-hmm. I mean, normally we used to open up around this spot. I think with the changes that they've made in the last couple of years, obviously you see how green it is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way, even a couple of years ago, it was this green. So it's great that we get to open up a little bit early. We actually get to extend our season a little bit late as well. I think they made some good changes as far as like green complexes as well. I mean, 3 is a fairly new green. It was new for the U.S. Open, but everything else is, I mean, compared to the other greens around here, it's new. They've extended tee boxes. They've, you know, added a couple of bunkers here and there and stuff like that. Like they're looking at making 1 a par 4 for championships, which they did for the mid-am, which I think was a good change as well, because I mean, it was a 492 par 4, and during stroke play, only 3 players birdied. So.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty daunting.
Makes it a very tough. It goes from, and I said this to Steven on the second, I'm like, man, I like that hole because I didn't hit a great tee shot. Mm-hmm. I just hit an 8-iron, still had a wedge in. I'm like, it's a nice little ease in, you know, 2-putted for my 5.
Yep.
But suddenly that's a par 4. It's no longer a nice little kind of ease your way
well,
into
exactly.
the round.
Welcome to Erin Hills, kick you between the legs.
Big time, yep. Exactly.
You guys do hospitality really well. I feel like
yeah, exactly,
you should probably
yep.
keep that a par 5 here.
Yep.
Just as somebody who likes to play here.
Sure. But again, I think it's more about the competition. You guys have the State Am is going to be out here
yep.
this year. When you have events like that with the State Am for the caddies, mm-hmm. I mean, what does that week look like for them?
For the State Am, it's going to be a little bit different. So the Mid-Am, we had about 75 or 80 of our caddies get out there.
Okay.
So, and we also had 10 days off for that as well. So that was a little bit different. The State Am is going to be probably a quarter of that, 20 to 30 guys. But with the State Am, though, a lot of my guys are trying to qualify, like the guy on my left here. So I think that's going to be a little bit different. I think with the local flavor, there's going to be more caddy-player relationships, like prior ones. But yeah, we're hoping to get like 30 guys out there, and like I said, I hope one of our guys holds that trophy at the end.
Yeah, that'd be really special.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get to it later in the show when we talk about our round out on the golf course. But as somebody who has walked this course, how many times would you say you've walked this golf course?
20,000.
Okay.
And that's including playing and all that stuff. Yeah.
Your favorite golf hole to play,
mm-hmm.
and your favorite golf hole to caddy on.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you kind of a smart answer here about favorite one to caddy. Probably 18, just because we're getting done. just kidding.
And the money's coming
soon. Yeah, You know it's coming.
The Fesky Rescue's coming sooner. Yeah, okay, I'm there. I get it.
No, honestly, I think my favorite one to caddy is actually 9. I have seen a hole-in-one on that one.
Wow.
I know. It's incredible. But it's like that one is difficult to judge as a caddy, I'll be honest, because it's like that wind could be whipping everywhere.
Yeah.
You could be playing 150 downhill, and that wind's blowing 30 miles left to right. It's just like good luck.
Because mm-hmm.
you know it's pretty much an island green. But my favorite hole is probably 12, as far as like aesthetically looking at it. Because 12 is the one goes up and down a little bit to the right.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hit your tee shot, and you see you're 260 out, you look back, you see that wall of fairway. And it's, I don't know, it's always... To me, it's always just a marvel of architecture, I guess.
Tim, thank you so much for jumping on with us today.
No, thanks for
having me. Thanks for sticking around, and I'm sure we'll see you out here again.
No,
soon.
Appreciate it, boys. We'll see you soon.
That's Tim Frank. He is the Caddy Master out here at Erin Hills. We've got also a question for you in terms of, he was just talking about hole 9. Well, there's a nice little shack that you can get some treats, some refreshments at hole 9. What are your favorite at-the-turn refreshments? We'll dive into that question coming up next, live from Erin Hills on the Tee.
Back to the course and on the Tee with Gabe and Steven after this on 94.5 ESPN.
After a crash with...
On 94.5 ESPN.
Our opening segment live from Erin Hills was brought to you by Mulligan's Irish Pub and Grill in Franklin, where everyone gets an extra stroke. Caller 4 right now. Caller 4 wins a $25 Mulligan's gift card, 800-990-3776. Mulligan's, where everyone gets an extra stroke. Gabe Neitzel, Stephen Watson hanging out at Erin Hills, and our phone lines are open for you to join this part of the conversation as well, 800-990-3776. What are some of your favorite at-the-turn snacks and refreshments? We dive into that right now in It's All About the Drive.
Sometimes it's all about the drive. But off the tee, it's all about the drive. The best and biggest shots of the weekend.
That house is like 400 yards away.
Is that good?
That's unbelievable.
It's All About the Drive on the Tee is brought to you by Ewald Automotive. Shop the Ewald Automotive Group, home of the 20-year, 200,000-mile limited warranty on all new vehicles. Visit any of their 8 locations today, in-store or online at ewaldautomotive.com. Ewald Automotive, we make it easy.
We'll definitely dive into some of our better shots of the day coming up in just a little bit here at Erin Hills, but what also is special about a place like this is at the turn, it's a little bit different, right? When I play at Brown Deer, you play at the Wisconsin Club, there's not just this little shack that has, you know, pretty much every refreshment that you're looking for.
A lot tempting you.
And the other thing, when I play at Brown Deer, which is where I typically play, I don't feel, even though I walk, it's not like the walk out here.
Yeah.
I am not typically somebody who wants to grab food at the turn. Like, I don't want to be eating while I'm playing. Like, a little snack is fine, but I actually needed, I felt like I got the chicken salad sandwich today, because you're walking so much. It's such a big ballpark here. You need the energy, you need the sustenance to get through the back nine.
You need the fuel, no question about it. But you also know what you're going to get out here from a quality standpoint.
You told me that before you even made the left-hand turn into Erin Hills.
Before I even made the left-hand turn out of my driveway. But continue, yes.
You knew what you were getting at the turn today.
There are a few places that I map out my food in the middle of a golf course. Like, there are a couple of golf courses where I'm going to treat myself post-round.
Sure.
Right? Erin Hills is one of the places that I need to map out my snacks throughout the round to maximize my overall experience here. So I came into the day budgeting my food intake so that I would be hungry by 9, maybe need a little snack on the back 9, and then be done and need a full meal. So it's about a 5-plus-hour walk out here most times you're out here. So I had budgeted leaving my driveway that I knew I was getting the chicken salad at the turn.
Okay.
And it never fails out here. And if it's a little colder of a day, like we had a beautiful day today, 70-plus degrees. If it's a little chillier, maybe a little wind's whipping a little bit at Erin Hills, I go with the brat.
You need that little bit of warmth.
But today it was chicken salad, and it's still undefeated.
Yeah, the chicken salad is fantastic. You can get it on a pretzel bun, you can get it on a regular rum bun. You have a lot of options. But typically when you're playing golf, do you have like a go-to snack? Do you have something that you keep tucked away in the bag that, okay, I just need this little boost of energy. I need a little thing. Because we both walk.
Yeah.
You know, typically, we're not going to be jumping in the cart. You're using a little bit more of that energy when you're hoofing it around with the bag on the shoulders. Do you have something in your bag that you will then go to? A little snacky snack.
I'm a big banana guy on the golf course.
Oh, that's smart.
It's kind of bland, but, you know, good to get some potassium. Feel good. Feel clean. I also like peanuts. That's a big one at Wisconsin Club.
Oh, you get peanuts at the turn. Peanuts at the turn.
So big peanuts or a little snack mix here and there.
Yeah, I'm a trail mix guy.
Yeah.
I like to have a little bit of trail mix in the golf bag once I get to the... Because honestly, a lot of times, and I don't know for whatever reason, when it's cold like it has been, like in the 50s, the way it's been in the last couple of days, which has still been fine to play in, but it's a little bit chillier, and I still have the hoodie on when I'm playing, I don't get hungry. Which doesn't make sense, because you would think you're a little bit colder, maybe you'd want it, but I don't need it during the summer. I feel like I need that just little bit of boost when I hit hole 8, 9, or 10.
I have found I'm not a hot dog guy in the least bit, outside of the golf course. When I get on the golf course, like a good hot dog at the turn can really lift you to new places, I have found.
Really?
And I don't like hot dogs. Maybe it's because I've lived in Wisconsin for a while.
Time out. What's wrong with hot dogs?
They just taste fake. It's like a fake meat, man.
All right. All right. I need to take you. All right. So this is honestly what I did this weekend. After I played golf on Saturday, went up to Horicon. We did our Mother's Day thing for my family on Saturday because I have younger, older sister, both have two kids. They were doing things with their own immediate families
yeah.
that they have now to celebrate themselves as now mothers. So we did something Saturday for my mom, for, you know, our collective mom, and I made Chicago-style hot dogs.
Ooh. Like it.
But you don't like hot dogs. I need to have you have but a Bunzel's hot dog. It will change your life.
It needs to be well-dressed for me to like a hot
yeah.
dog. Like, it's got to have a lot going on than just, like, ketchup or mustard.
Sure.
For just a normal hot dog. Like, a ballpark hot dog will be the last thing I would ever get at a Brewers game.
A little stadium sauce?
But if you get, like, a good kosher hot dog or, like, you know, like a Benji's hot dog.
Okay.
One, you know, a good-looking hot dog.
Like Portillo's?
And that's waiting for me at the turn.
Okay.
I'll go for it.
So you need the relish, you need the onions, you need...
Yeah, maybe a little... Yeah. Yeah, or a brat with sauerkraut is
okay.
Maybe that's the guy who's lived in Wisconsin now for quite some time that turned into a brat guy. Maybe that's why I don't like hot dogs. Brats are just
because
more fulfilling.
You become more of a brat elitist at this point.
Yeah,
in life. But I especially feel when you come to a place like Erin Hills, and I think we found this last year when we played at Century World, when we've been at Whistling Straits, like the different things that these again. High-end golf courses have is those snack things at the turn. And you got to bring it, man.
Yeah.
They, especially here at Erin Hills, they know how to bring it. With that, whether you're talking about the brat, whether you're talking about the chicken salad, which was a popular selection in our group today. I don't know if you just decided that you were the trendsetter.
Oh, I started the party. Yeah, yeah. I was happy that I was a leader in that regard. It felt like a win on the golf course today when everyone was like, oh, chicken salad, yeah. I'm going to go there.
And I'll say this as well. And I feel like we've got a good enough relationship with people at Erin Hills that one of my favorite at-the-turn snacks is not here, but up at Whistling Straits. The granola bars that they have at the Straits.
Yeah, they're undefeated.
Yeah, like if you happen to go there, like I'm just saying, have a granola bar. They're homemade. You will not be disappointed.
Yeah, that's a full meal, by the way.
Yeah, the granola bar is, it would probably make me more full than the chicken salad, the large chicken salad sandwich I had today.
It's good to have options on all these beautiful golf courses we have across the state.
But the other thing that's very important that we're still counting down to here at Erin Hills is the post-round drink.
Oh, yeah. We sure are. About 35 minutes away from the first taste of that Fescue Rescue out here.
Why is the Fescue Rescue so important to you?
Well, that makes me sound like an alcoholic.
But honestly,
what kind of question is that, Knightsel?
But is it not an important drink to you?
Was it
not served at your wedding?
It was offered at the wedding, yes. I may or may not have brought it under an alias name to Wisconsin Club.
Wait, you've got a knockoff version at the Wisconsin Club?
Well, we don't
Club?
Call it the Fescue Rescue. The best form of flattery is copying, right? Isn't that imitation?
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Yeah, I butchered that thing. So I would say... The Fescue Rescue is perfect for a number of reasons. One, it's refreshing. So out here, where you get eaten alive by the sun, there's, what, six, seven trees on the entire golf course? So you are exposed on pretty much every single shot. There's no shade. You can't hide. So when you get a hot summer day out here, you need a nice cold drink. And I find if I have alcoholic beverages on a golf course, if I get a beer, it warms up.
Yeah.
I like something on ice. So Fescue Rescue mid-round is refreshing, and it's dangerous because the ginger beer drowns out the Jameson. So if anybody is unaware of what a Fescue Rescue is, it is Jameson ginger beer and lemonade. Pretty much equal mix.
And I believe a squeeze of lemon.
And yeah, yeah.
Fresh one.
Yes, of course. And try it at home, and it will change your life on the golf course, or even just a refreshment in your backyard.
I'll tell you this. I do like a Jameson and ginger at home. I very rarely do I have the lemonade to make the full Fescue Rescue, but JMO and ginger has kind of been a go-to because of the Fescue Rescue. I don't know. There's got to be something else they add to it, because I feel like when I've made it at home, it's close. It's right there.
Okay,
but it's not the same.
Let me tell you what they add to it. Gabe, stare out. beyond these beautiful walls. There's 7,000.
I wish we could flip this camera around.
There are 7,000 plus beautiful yards that you don't have in your backyard.
That's very true.
And that.
Very true. River West does not look like this.
Being in this element is what makes it taste that special.
It really does. And this has been a special place for me and Steven. This is year three. All 3 years we've come out here, we've played, and we'll explain just why. Because we got a question on Twitter, and I feel like we need to kind of answer that. We'll explain what that question was, and we'll explain why we think this place is so special. And I feel like we would, again, talk about this, whether we would be out here or not on this particular day. But it's definitely a place that we love to be, and we're going to talk about why it is such a special place coming up next on the Tee. But first, I do have to tell you about WisconsinGolfTrips.com, because On the Tee is presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips. Their main business, booking groups from around the world to play great courses in our state, like this one, the one we're at Erin Hills. I know Jason has a great relationship with the folks out here at Erin Hills. But they also do outbound trips for groups each year, places like Michigan, Minnesota, and Nevada. And Wisconsin Golf Trips is now booking custom packages internationally to Scotland and Ireland. That's right. Wisconsin Golf Trips, your one-stop shop for your next golf getaway, handling all the tee times, lodging, other logistics, plus transportation, even dinner reservations. Think about that. Any golf trip that you want to do, whether you want to do Scotland or Ireland or just a simple trip over to Michigan, Jason Coughlin can handle all those little details that you've probably forgotten about and don't want to worry about. It is his job. He has made it his career to worry about those little details to make sure you have a hole-in-one golf trip. So make your golf trip. Book the next one with WisconsinGolfTrips.com.
No ifs, ands, or buts. There's more On the Tee with Gabe and Steven coming up on 94.5 ESPN. This is On the Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Steven Watson on 94.5 ESPN.
From Erin Hills, it is On the Tee. Steven Watson, Gabe Neitzel. A big thanks to everyone out here at Erin Hills. I'm talking about people like John Morissette, Steve Peace, who have always been great to us in inviting us out here to Erin Hills. Tim Frank, the caddy master, who joined us earlier on the show. But this has always been kind of a special place to us. And even before we started doing the show, this was like independently one of our favorite places to come and play golf because of the hospitality angle. You tweeted out a video earlier today, which cursed me on the back nine, but that's not what I want to talk about.
excuses.
Exactly. You opened the door to give me the excuse, and I am going to take it. But it was a video of us hitting our tee shots onto hole number nine, which is the signature hole out here. I think 18 has certainly become a little bit more of in that conversation in terms of the signature hole out here because of what happened at the U.S. Open here. But nine is the signature hole. It is a very picturesque hole. You heard Tim Frank talk about it earlier on the show. If you missed that, download it, wisconsinondemand.com. And it's just this essentially island green surrounded by a bunch of bunkers. If you end up in one of them, good luck getting up and down. And it's a tough hole. And you said it's one of your favorite in the state. And you got a response back saying, well, I'm not going to spend X amount of dollars to play golf. Why do you feel that way? And I understand that we are very fortunate with the jobs that we do in order for us to come out here the way we have each of the last 3 years to play this place. But if you're somebody that can't really, you know, that you're not going to come out of here every year, I cannot recommend enough at least doing it once. A U.S. Open was played here. The only U.S. Open in Wisconsin history was played right here at this place. And there's a reason for that. A, it's the hospitality that we talked about with Tim and, you know, the bartenders, the people in the clubhouse, you know, the people that maintain the little snack shacks around the golf course. Yep. The girls that do the cartwheels on number 8 if you end up in the fairway. They're not quite out here yet, but they will be later this summer. It's if you haven't played it, it's a blind tee shot where you're trying to get it to the fairway. There's just little things that make it, it's more than just 18 holes of golf. And one of my favorite memories with my parents, I was able to bring them out here. And yeah, this was a U.S. Open course, but the fairways are wide. My parents don't play a ton of golf. they like golf because I've really gotten into it, right? I absolutely love it. And they came out here and they had a great time because of the hospitality, because of the caddies, because of the course, the piece of property, the 5 hours that you get to spend with the other people in your group. It's more than just an 18-hole round of golf. It's something more. And it's tough to put your finger on it until you actually do it. I cannot recommend enough, if you love golf in the state of Wisconsin and you love the play, finding a way to get out to this place at least once, because I believe it's that special.
When I think of Erin Hills, I think of intimacy. I think that what makes this property so unique is the combination of all the things that you had just mentioned, but it's an experience. It's not just 18 holes. It's the crew knowing your name when you show up and studying their tee sheets and understanding, making it personal. It's guys like Tim Frank and his caddies enhancing the experience for you on the course with people who are masters of what they do. It is unbelievable beauty that is natural to the terrain out here in the Kettle Moraine. I mean, this golf course didn't need tons and tons of dirt pushed around like some of the others in this state. And we're lucky to have those golf courses. It's certainly not a knock on them. I just think the fact that this property is natural, there's an intimacy about it being out here. And there's a quietness. And there's you kind of find yourself in awe of just how massive the property is and how we're dropped into the state of Wisconsin when you're out here. Because it's so unique when you – and we're here in May. If you come here in August when the fescue is up and it's starting to turn purple and you have that contrast of the bright green with the purple fescue on sunset, I mean – that's worth the price of admission without even playing golf. And then you get a five-hour experience out on the golf course that enhances that. It is worth every penny in my mind because it's so much more than what your score is when you finish on 18.
Whether you're sitting, I think you experience it whether you're sitting where we are on this patio or if you go up right when you get here, you get to the clubhouse. If you want to walk out to the back patio, do it. Try to soak it all in. It's just such a special piece of property. And I think that this one holds a little bit more close to my heart because it's so close to where I grew up.
Yeah.
You know, if I was somebody from, you know, Sheboygan, you know, I'd probably fight like hell about how Kohler and, you know, and I love the Straits, and I love, you know.
You're picking your favorite children.
Yeah,
and we're
right?
talking about comparing Erin Hills to Whistling Straits to
or
Sand
Black
Valley
Wolf
and
Run.
Century World.
Yeah.
I mean, we are so blessed to have these courses all this close to each other in the state.
It's insane to me. Like, if you hop on, when you get out on Highway 60 there, you drive back into Hartford, 83 into Hartford, there's a movie theater that's where I went to go watch all the movies that I went to in high school.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's 5 minutes away from this place. Like, I'm 25 minutes away from where my parents and live and I grew up. So it's just such a – to be this close to where I grew up, it's always going to be a special place to me. It hosted a U.S. Open. There's a price tag that is associated with it. But there's a price tag in terms of any form of entertainment that you go and do.
Yeah.
And
you want to sit in the lower bowl at a Bucks game? You pay for it.
Yeah. This is a special experience. And by the way, I would suggest doing that too.
Yeah.
At some point, if you can,
of course.
You know, especially with Giannis, you want to see Giannis. This is the golf version of me of, okay, I've saved up. I've been able to put away a little bit here and there. I understand it's an intimidating price for a lot of people. I can't recommend it more if you live in the state of Wisconsin and love golf.
And I think that's what also makes golf uniquely special is when I say the word experience, we are talking about a five-hour round of golf. For a lot of people, that's a turnoff. But for people who come out here, you don't want to leave this property. So the fact that you get to walk that course for 5 hours is worth that type of money.
Five-hour round sounds terrible to me. And I don't know if the video – did the video come out today when Tyler, who is here from our marketing team, independently asked us both what our biggest pet peeve in the golf course was, and independently we gave the same answer of slow play?
Yeah.
You think 5 hours, you think, oh, boy, a lot of slow play out there. No. Like it's just a big ballpark to walk around, man. It takes 5 hours to walk it. And, yeah, like my legs are a little bit tired. Your feet are a little bit tired at the end of the day. It's worth it.
That's
100%
worth it. That's what makes the Fescue Rescue taste even sweeter at the end of this round.
Best shot you hit today.
My putt on 18, probably. I think because of what it ended up meaning in our golf day out here, Gabe, it was extra special. I birdied 18 at Erin Hills, which is something I don't think I have ever done.
Really?
Yeah, really. It's a long par five for us, you know, little hitters. All right, Gabe. I think,
and I made you guys play the green tees today. I feel.
Yeah, I honestly think the two best holes I played out here were 9 and 18. Which is pretty crazy to think.
Your up and down on 9 was really you hit a better tee shot than you got rewarded for. You got caught up a little bit on the false front, but had a good up and down to save par, and then a solid 18th to give you birdie, your lone birdie of the day.
Yeah, it was about a 25, 30 footer, I something like that for birdie on 18. To beat Gabe Neitzel by one stroke. Sorry,
because I didn't hit my 10 footer.
Gabe Neitzel hit one of the most incredible golf shots I have ever seen today, also on number 18. I will let him do play-by-play of his own moment.
So, 18, there's a bunch of bunkers up the right-hand side. I was trying to cut it off the bunkers, ended up hitting it into one of the bunkers. I was up kind of against the face of it. Like, I'm best I can. I had a 60-degree wedge, and that still kind of clipped the top face of the bunker and, like, crawled out onto the fairway in front. So, my caddy goes, "You want to still have a run at it?" I'm like, "Yeah, let's do it." So he goes, "It's probably going to be about, you know, 270, 275 from there." Shane, who is one of our MCs at ESPN Milwaukee, who was with us today, said his watch said 289, and he was a couple of steps behind me. So let's just call it 280.
I'm going to go with 285.
Okay. All right. Do what you ever got to do.
I'm your hype man, Gabe.
Okay. So I just grabbed 3-wood and I just ripped a 3-wood that got to the front edge of the green, took one hop, and then rolled up to 10 feet. It was just a 285-yard missile right at the green, right at the flag.
And if people are unfamiliar with the history of number 18 at Erin Hills at the U.S. Open in 2017, Justin Thomas hit a 3-wood from about 20 to 30 yards behind where Gabe was today, got there in two, and eagled number 18 for the lowest round ever in a U.S. Open.
Major
championship. And Gabe was not too far in front of the plaque that's out there on number 18, the par 5 finisher, and he put it to 10 feet, and it was one of the more remarkable golf swings. I am not going to lie, Gabe. You were a little. You didn't play your best in the back nine.
Correct.
Today. And I've played enough golf with you to know that your angry golf can result in some of your best golf, but it can also result in some of your ugliest golf.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was worried with you going 3-wood from 280 yards out, that ball was going to be duck hooked about 50 yards right. And sure enough, you pured it. Ball flew, landed right in the front of the green, rolled up. It was a tip of the cap to you, man. I mean, from 20 to 30 yards away from that Justin Thomas marker out there, that was one of the more spectacular golf shots I have ever witnessed in person.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, even though you still clipped me on with your birdie there.
I did make the birdie finisher and stabbed him in the heart.
Yeah, so that made the putt a little bit tougher, right? Like, so now I'm thinking about it a little bit more, and I just didn't hit it hard enough.
Yeah,
I had the right line. I just left it, you know, 8 inches to a foot short.
You left a birdie putt short.
I did. Coming up the hill. Dead up the hill. Like, should have been.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah. No, you trust me. You ain't the only one. You're not the only one, pal. Left a couple out there on the back nine. But it's still such a beautiful place. And I'm so glad and so thankful every time we get an opportunity to come out here and play. But speaking of the U.S. Open. That's a major championship. The PGA major championship number 2 is on the horizon. We do have to make our Gruber Law Offices one call. That's all picks. We're going to be doing that coming up next. But I do have to tell you about the U.S. Senior Open coming to the state of Wisconsin this year. See some of your favorite players like Steve Stricker, Ernie Els, Jerry Kelly, Padraig Harrington, and more up close as they battle for the 43rd U.S. Senior Open Championship at Century World in Stevens Point. It's June 27th through July 2nd. Buy your daily, weekly, or premium tickets now at ussenioropen.com. That's ussenioropen.com. Our PGA Championship picks are up next, live from Erin Hills. It's On the Tee.
Forget about changing that dial. More On the Tee with Gabe and Steven next on 94.5 ESPN. far? It's On the Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Stephen Watson on 94.5 ESPN.
On the Tee, live from Erin Hills, as the sun is setting, the fireplaces are flickering just outside of the patio here at Erin Hills. They've got, again, the hospitality is second to none here at Erin Hills as we get closer and closer to our Fescue Rescues, which is the signature drink out here, and one we are going to enjoy the second we sign off on this program. But it is time to give our Gruber Law Offices one call. That's all picks. Second major of the year, which I still do not like, because we were talking about, after we played the round, some guys from Fifth Third Bank were here as well. And we had lunch with them after our round. And everybody was talking about Mother's Day, which was yesterday. Father's Day is like a month away. And that's the final round of the U.S. Open. And then three majors are done. And it's like, whoa, what's going on? So the fact that this major is no longer in August just really still throws me off. But it is going to be in Rochester, New York, at Oak Hill. Who are you taking, Stephen Watson, for your Gruber Law Offices one call? That's all pick this
week. So I was looking into the history of the PGA Championship, and it's a really fascinating one from a winner perspective. It feels like the event that catapults a lot of guys' careers.
Okay.
A lot of first-time major champions happen at the PGA Championship, dating back to 2013, which is the last time that Oak Hill hosted the PGA Championship, and Jason Duffner won that one. So
He can't win this week. Don't take Jason Duffner. He's already withdrawn.
Yeah, he withdrew after the Byron. So the last two PGAs at Oak Hill have been won by first-time major winners. First-time major winners dating back to 2010 at Whistling Straits, when I'm sure Gabe would tell you if it were in August, maybe we'd get another shot at one up at Whistling Straits. Martin Keimer won in 2010 at Whistling Straits. 2011, Keegan Bradley won his first and only major championship. 2013, I mentioned Duffner. 2015, Jason Day winning his first and only, also coming at Whistling Straits. 2016, Jimmy Walker wins his first and only.
I'm still not convinced that major actually happened. I seriously have zero recollection of that major. I believe it was at Quail Hollow.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I have zero recollection of that major. No idea.
Yeah, PGA kind of tends to be the ugly stepchild of the major championships.
which is weird because it boasts the strongest field in golf because it's all professionals.
Yeah.
And yes, they have the 20 PGA pros that, you know, your local, you know, pro that makes it, what have you. But it's usually an incredibly strong field, and it ends up being fun. Like, I think of the Bellerive back in 2018 when Brooks Koepka held off Tiger, a charging Tiger, who had an incredible final round. Like, it can be a fun major. It just has the worst reputation of all four.
So continuing down the list, 2017, Justin Thomas won his first of two majors, both of them PGA championships. 2020, Colin Morikawa won his first major championship, it being a PGA championship. He later won the Open as well during the pandemic year. So I am going to go with a first-time major champion.
Okay.
And we had this debate on our show last week or the week before about the best golfers to not win a major championship.
Okay.
And it was not one of the guys that we picked. I believe it is time for Cameron Young to finally break through and win his first major championship. He's made 12 cuts this season, all 12 events that he's played, three top 10s. He's still seeking his first PGA Tour victory, which is kind of wild to think about how close he's been knocking on the door. He finished a stroke out of the playoff last year at the PGA that was won by Justin Thomas, went to the playoff with him and Zalatoris. Runner-up the British Open, he was T7 at the Masters this year. I believe that Cameron Young is going to win his first major championship at Oak Hill. He is a New York native, and it is in Rochester.
Ooh, okay. So, you know, maybe having a little bit, a little home cooking maybe for that one. When you mentioned that Jason Duffner won the last time, I think of him when he played his best golf in that era, the early 2010s, because he also competed with Keegan Bradley the year before. Obviously, Bradley ended up prevailing. He was a really good ball striker. So I think this has got to be somebody whose iron game has to be very strong. And I would love for that to be JT to go back to back. Something's off with JT. I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's playing through something. The distance doesn't seem to quite be there. Like, he's still playing solid golf.
Yeah.
But he's not playing top 10 player in the world type of golf. I would love to pick Jordan Spieth and say, hey, this guy's going to finally complete the career Grand Slam. But he just didn't play in Texas last week.
Yeah.
Can't imagine that he's going to be.
With his wrist injury.
Yeah, I can't imagine he's going to be in any sort of form. I feel like Max Homa hasn't been quite as sharp as of late. So I'm going to lean towards Colin Morikawa winning his second PGA championship with his ball striking, carrying the day, and carrying him to major number three in his career.
He's a name that you could put out there every single major. I mean, that's how I feel about Colin Morikawa's game. If he gets that putter going, he is arguably a top two or three golfer in the world. And I think that Morikawa, it's a good pick.
Do we see Brooks Koepka competing again?
Yes. And don't be surprised, Dustin Johnson coming off of his big LIV win.
He won?
Yes, he ended up winning. Oh. It didn't show on television, but...
Yeah. Wait, what?
Halfway through the final round, CW cut out of it and made it a web exclusive. That's what I saw on Twitter.
Okay, I guess LIV is going to LIV. I doubt that happens this week at the PGA. I'm going to say that CBS stays with it in its entirety.
There's 18 LIV guys competing in the PGA Championship. Somebody's going to be knocking on the door once again.
Yeah, they're too talented.
Yeah.
Too talented of individuals not to. Again, I want to say thank you to everybody out here at Erin Hills for having us out here. Once again, they have been proud supporters of this program since we started, and we are now in year three. So big, big thank you to everyone at Erin Hills for having us out here. ErinHills.com is their website if you're looking to book a tee time, maybe book an overnight stay. That's the one thing I have not done here. You said it's pretty awesome, but ErinHills.com is that website. We'll be back next week to talk more about the PGA Championship and Major Number 2 right here on the tee.